It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program. Open mic with Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open, 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And now here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Good morning, one and all, and welcome back to Open Mic. I'm Hester Fuller. I'm with you every Monday from 9 to 11 in this slot. Mike Smith is here from Tuesday through Friday, and we try to bring you a parade of guests over the course of the week, touching on lots of different topics. But the real folks we want to hear from are you guys, and we're going to open the new year and the new week today with an open mic. Give me a call at 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Tom McLeod and I are here, and we're looking to find out what's on your mind as the new year opens. Winter finally got here. That's one thing we could talk about if you really, really want to. We can also talk about that. What are we going to call that game that the Pats played against the Dolphins yesterday? Foosball? I'm not sure it qualified quite as football. I got my theories, but I'd like to hear your theories about why it went the way it did. Legislature gets underway tomorrow. That's always good for a remark or two or a snark or two. Give us a call, 244-1777, or call us toll-free, 877-291-8255. Open mic is an open mic today. Tom's settling in, and I'm sure he's going to be popping on his headphones pretty quick and ready to go to answer your calls. We'd really like to hear from you. What else has been going on? I don't know how many of you out there are Downton Abbey fans like I am, but I was certainly glued to the set last night to see how that came out. Tom's nodding in there. Tom,
yes,
you a Downton Abbey fan?
I'm getting into it, so...
Well, it's about time.
I know. It's something I'd really like. I really like that period. I like things about Titanic, and it starts off that...
It did start out
Titanic
with the Titanic
reference, so... But yeah, it was kind of interesting, but they got a lot of time to cover in a short season.
Yeah. It's true, and they've got an awful lot of stories to kind of... I hope they don't tie them up completely. I hope there are a few loose ends that are still left at the end, because that's always holds the promise of a sequel. Last night had some real high points for me, though. Some of my absolute favorite characters had very special moments in there, and I think one highlight for me had to be Mrs. Patmore's little recon mission she had to do for Mrs. Hughes with Mr. Carson. Did you watch that part?
Yes,
that was funny. I'm not sure how much detail we can go into on family program.
Not
too much.
Not
but, oh, gosh,
yeah.
That was terrific. There were a lot of good moments last night. And if you have a particular favorite from last night, the opening episode of the final season of Downton Abbey, give me a call, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Now, if period drama on public television isn't quite your thing, we could talk about the Pats and the Dolphins if you want to. We could talk about Tom Brady taking it in the knees once, twice, three times. Yikes. I have a feeling that he played the way he did, they played the way they did to kind of hang on to their reserves in anticipation of the postseason. But I don't know for sure. I don't know much about football. I just...
No, I know. But he claims he's going to go another 10 years or 9 years. Now,
really? So, go where?
Stay in the...
to physical therapy?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I think it's optimistic at best.
Mm-hmm. Could be so.
But, hey, you never know.
And talking about contests and rough and tumble, the legislature gets underway tomorrow. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see what kinds of things pop up. If you've got thoughts about what our legislators ought to be doing down in Montpelier when they go back to work tomorrow, we'd like to hear what they are. We got a couple of shows planned for coming weeks where we do get into things. We're certainly going to return to the topic of the deer herd in a couple of weeks. Once the vacation, the holiday season kind of gummed up the booking machine here for Monday morning open mic. Folks are away. A lot of folks who are interested in being here, and just this is just not a good day. It's the day after.
Yeah, I see a phone call, so I'll have to
leave great.
For a moment.
Good.
I'll be back.
Find out who's calling and find out what's on their mind. Give us a call if you want to, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Love to know what you're thinking about as the brand new year gets underway. If you have ideas for shows we ought to get or guests you'd like us to book because you've got a question you'd like to ask them, please do give us a call. Let us know. We're taking notes on all these things and looking forward to some great lineups over the next couple of weeks. Right now, we got Fred in Montpelier talking to us. Hi, Fred. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I brought this up a couple weeks before, but maybe the legislature coming into office tomorrow and they have some beer and they have a big budget deficit. And nobody that I know of has brought up looking into the state airports scattered around the...
Oh, yeah, you called me a couple weeks about that, didn't you?
The airports. And I can't believe they pay for themselves. Mm. And my suggestion is maybe they should look into privatizing them, but look into what the, what is costing them and which ones they could maybe delete.
Yeah. Now, Fred, I have to ask you, because I do remember our conversation a couple of weeks ago about the airports and the possible drain right. they may be causing to the state resources. What has got you so interested in airports?
I worked on the state airports a long time ago in my career.
Uh-huh.
And, they service a very minor population set.
Yeah.
And... I in my mind, I don't think they're cost effective.
Yeah.
You know, they should concentrate into the bigger ones and some of these little ones. Like the only time Highgate made any money, I think, was when the Grateful Dead were up there.
Well, it sure was convenient to have it there, wasn't it, when the Grateful Dead rolled in?
According to my daughters, yes.
According to your daughters.
We got some real tiny ones around, like besides Highgate, we got Island Pond, we got Springfield.
Yeah, we got outside Newport, but that was handy when Fish gave their last concert.
Yeah, right.
Maybe we're serving a niche market.
Yeah, and I don't think that... the payback is there, you know?
If yeah.
breaking
yeah.
even, that would be fine, but I believe they're costing us money.
Now, when you were working at these airports, who did you see as the clientele? Who does use those airports? Because I've never thought about this before, and I'm curious.
The very few, and I don't have one, but the very few of the population have these little private airplanes.
Oh, little planes.
And I don't know if they pay any fees. Like, I have a boat, but I pay... registration and fishing license, so I pay for the boating access areas, I think they pay for themselves. But I just can't believe these airports pay for themselves.
I wonder. But that the idea of fees does give us something to look into, doesn't it? That gives us something to ask
so,
about.
I don't think somebody look at it. Like, I don't have facts, and I admit that. But I'd like to have the legislature look into that area, and maybe they're fine.
Okay, duly noted. Thank you, Fred, very much for calling. We hope you have a good new year. And if this comes up on the legislature's docket, we will return to the business of the state airports and whether they're carrying their own freight. Carrying their own buckets or whatever we say about that. We're looking for your ideas and your thoughts about the new year as it begins to unfold, 2016. Have you gotten used to writing it yet? If you have, you're 2 days ahead of me for sure. Give us a call, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You are listening to Open Mic, and it is indeed an open mic today. We're interested in hearing from you. Lots has gone down since I was here in this chair a week ago. We have a kerfuffle brewing in Burlington at the moment because the candidate who shall not be named, at least not on my dollar, is scheduled to be appearing at the Flynn Theater. And now the Vermont Workers Center has called upon the Flynn to cancel that engagement. What do you think about that idea? Is that a smart thing to do? Is that a wrong-headed reaction to his appearance in Burlington? Are there arguments in favor of doing something like that? Or do you think that the principle of giving everybody a chance to hang themselves with their own rope ought to apply here? What do you think about that kerfuffle brewing in Burlington over a scheduled engagement later this week at the Flynn Theater, which is all in the news? Give us a call, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You are listening to Open Mic, and we'll be right back after these. Good morning and welcome back. This is Open Mic on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock, 9 to 11 every Monday morning here on the Nifty 550 and the 96.1 FM out of Warren. We're also broadcasting out of Barrie and out of Island Pond, as you know. And we stream worldwide over WDEVradio.com, so you can listen anytime you want. I am right here until 11 a.m., at which point Bill Sayers will be in with Common Sense Radio from the Ethan Allen Institute. And he always has an interesting lineup of thought-provoking folks. Right now, though, we're going to head up to Shelburne and talk to Ruth. Happy New Year, Ruth.
Yes, I'm from Sheldon.
Sheldon. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Thank you for that correction.
Okay, well, I'm a big Downton Abbey fan.
Uh-huh.
And the thing that caught my eye last night was the dilemma that the grandmothers were having over the hospital takeover.
That was, yes, that was quite something. Tell me what you thought.
Well, it's very similar to what's happening here in Vermont and around the United States. And
in what way?
Well, a lot of the doctors are joining forces with the hospitals, so the hospital controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing this so that they can survive, so they say. But I see it more as a power grab of the big hospitals forcing the small hospitals out of business. That's what's going to happen eventually, not immediately. But and the doctors are all joining in with the hospitals, so they're not having independent businesses anymore. And this creates monopolies. And so the people lose power to control their own health care. It becomes harder and harder to deal with these big monopolies who have all the lobbyists and all the legal stuff that they need to force their way of life on us.
I hadn't really thought about it that way. I'm going to play devil's advocate for just for a minute and sort of probe some of what you're thinking.
Okay.
Has your personal experience been that it's more difficult to get the kind of services that you want under this evolving system that we've got?
Yes, I can't get any services because I was a person who made too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but not enough money to pay for my health insurance. So for years, I've been without any health care whatsoever.
And
I feel very strongly about this. And yes, it is only making it more difficult. Everything that they have done, and I've been paying attention to this since the early 80s.
Sure.
Everything that they have done to supposedly help people like me has not done a thing to help me in any way whatsoever.
Well, that's very frustrating.
Yes, it is.
Now,
and I feel very strongly about it. And other people now, I mean, like people who could afford insurance now have to pay very high deductibles. And it's beginning to sink into them what these high deductibles mean to them. They can't afford them. They can't pay them. Maybe you could do it for 1 year, but every year it starts over again. So if, surprise.
Well, surprise,
still don't get
yeah.
Any
if
coverage.
You need, if
you're
you do need regular.
You're paying for your health insurance, but you don't get any coverage because you haven't met the deductible yet. We stopped buying insurance when it cost us 50% of our income.
Oy, oy, oy.
Would you pay 50% of your income to
I
buy
wouldn't,
health
but,
insurance?
I certainly would not. But in your experience, does the new arrangement through the Vermont Health Connect not help out enough?
No, it doesn't. Because now, now I apply for I qualify for Medicare. So I am paying for to have Medicare insurance. I'm not paying for supplemental insurance or anything like that because I can't afford that. However, the state doesn't help people on Medicare to get services. So I'm still stuck with a lot of large portion of the bill, a portion of the bill that I can't afford.
Well,
In other words, I think we're running into the situation where nobody can afford health care anymore.
Well, I hope it doesn't get. I hope we don't get that far.
But we need to face that fact because more and more people are finding them in the shoes that I've already been wearing.
What would you think we should do?
They can't afford their deductibles.
If you could advise the legislature as the session opens tomorrow, what do you think we should do about that?
I honestly believe, and I have been working with members of the legislature, and I have talked with everybody. I have sent a plan to Barack Obama, to all of our legislators. I don't think we should be paying more for health care than what Medicaid pays. Nobody should be asked to pay the cost shift. If the hospitals and doctors accept Medicaid as a payment, they shouldn't charge me more.
Okay, now I'm going to be devil's advocate again. How should we cover the gap in the real expense, the real cost to doctors of doing stuff? If there's a gap between that rate, let's say it all worked out just the way you described, and there's a sort of flat rate for everything, an even scale of payment across all the provider, ways. And there's a gap.
And it doesn't cover the cost.
And it doesn't cover the actual cost.
Wow.
To the, What do you think?
I guess doctors won't be able to get as high a salary as they get. I guess all the nurses won't be able to get as high a salary. I guess the administrators won't be able to get... I guess they'll have to lower what the cost is. That's what other businesses have to do.
Mm-hmm. I'd be interested to hear if we get some feedback on the real expenses of becoming a doctor or becoming a nurse in the state.
Oh, see, I dealt with all of this. Why didn't we correct that problem? I call those spokes to the wheel.
Uh-huh.
That's just a spoke. That why didn't we deal with that? Why didn't we help doctors get their education?
Uh-huh.
But no, for years and years and years, we've ignored that problem.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with pharmaceutical costs, same thing with medical malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
They tell us that medical malpractice costs a lot, but in reality, the only doctors who have to pay an outrageous amount are the orthopedic doctors and the obstetrics.
Well, just because general surgeons do too, I think.
There's a high rate of dissatisfaction with those two businesses, or those two, you know, things don't always work out right.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have to control the cost because it is ruining our economy. It's ruining our school systems because our health, our educational costs are so high because we're paying so much for health insurance for teachers and related people.
Well,
so,
you know what?
Yeah, we have to control the cost.
Okay. I hear your message loud and clear, and I really appreciate your calling us with that perspective. I'd like to hear some other viewpoints, too, if you've got thoughts about health care and where we're going in the state of Vermont and what the costs are. If you've got personal experience, maybe you're a physician driving in, maybe you are a nurse and you're listening to this. If you can call up and tell us a bit about how you see it, how it all looks from your perspective, we'd really appreciate it. Understanding that different people will have different views and where you stand depends on where you sit at this table. So let's hear from different points of view. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. You are tuned to Open Mic, and you guys are setting the agenda today. Give us a call and let us know what's on your mind. Lots going on with the new year getting underway, legislature getting underway tomorrow. Some new things happening, some new things beginning, some old things winding up. The football season is starting to wind down toward the playoffs, and we saw some kind of a spectacle yesterday with the Pats and the Dolphins. If you have thoughts about that, we could take some calls on that. We could take some calls on the political races that are underway. If you've got anything to say about that, we can talk more about healthcare. I would love to hear some other points of view as well. We can talk about some of the pop culture things that have been going on. We were talking about Downton Abbey just a few minutes ago. And we got other things, too. There's some really cool stuff happening in science that maybe we'll get to in just a little bit. But right now, we've got Fred from Moncton Ridge. Fred, good morning. What's on your mind today?
Good morning. I take a little different view from the last caller.
Okay.
I don't think we ought to be paying a nickel.
Really?
For health care.
What do
one blasted penny. I think we should go on the European, Canadian system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all perfect, but this is driving the country into crazy ruin. This is the last thing I heard her say was, all the teachers and nurses are getting so much more money now. I mean, come on.
You think that's not likely?
Well, I don't think they're the only problem here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the huge international pharmaceutical drug companies that are driving the prices of these things up.
Okay, so not so much the salaries, but the drugs.
They're going to trials.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that, like education, I'm a democratic socialist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like Bernie. I think the government should pay for it.
Okay.
And I really think the election should be paid by it. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if they each got like $50,000 and that was it?
Yeah, it would be, you know, a little bit
wouldn't
saner.
Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? They all got the same X amount of money and it was done and that was it. And we would have a much clearer choice to pick from.
You think, how would that clarify things? If we just cut down the amount of money they could spend, how would that help us as voters and as taxpayers to understand?
More money, more buys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you get that?
Oh, I totally get that.
Then why was the question asked?
because I don't see those two things as connected. There's another piece, and I'm playing devil's advocate because that's what I do.
if you get something shoved down your throat long enough, you're going to start believing it.
Well, I won't.
I won't either. Mm-hmm. But there is the Donald Trump group out there, that mm-hmm. low white, that's going to believe it.
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Vermonters are pretty sensible people as a rule. And I think, you
Vermonter,
know,
yes. We're not talking about just Vermont.
That's true. We're not.
We're talking about a country that's going to vote for these people.
Well, I don't.
And I'm talking about just not education for Vermont and health care for Vermont. I'm talking about the whole country.
I hear what you're saying there. But, you know, on the other hand, I think part of this might also be, tell me what you think about this idea, that America loves a spectacle, and that this early in the race, this far ahead of Election Day, part of what's going on here is we're just watching a piece of theater unfolding.
Well, here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Turner invented that stupid GG thing, CNN, and then they all took a business program from that. Nobody needs to watch this crap for 24 hours a day.
No, that's true, and you don't need to watch it.
We used to get it 30 minutes a day from Walter Cronkite. We didn't know if a girl was savagely attacked in Muncie, Indiana. We didn't know if somebody shot somebody in Duluth, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just shoved down our throat.
Well, yeah, but can't you just turn off your set?
Of course, and I do.
Yeah, I do too.
But there's an S-load of people out there that don't do it. And that's the group that this crowd, this money political, geopolitical crowd, is craving to. Those, you and I knew who we were going to vote for our race problems.
Yeah, I think
I
do.
The rest of them don't, and the rest of them are getting sucked in.
Well, you know, I have a lot of faith in my fellow man. I think people are basically
good. Oh, I don't whatsoever.
Yeah, I know.
I think there are a bunch of GD sheep.
Well, I don't know. I don't know too many sheep personally, and I tend to think that people think a bit more carefully when it really comes down to their interest and their situation.
I'm certainly hoping so when they get into that box and drop that handle down.
I sure do, too.
Several choices.
Well, we'll have to touch base again, Fred, as this campaign goes on, because we'll just sort of see, like, whether your view of your fellow human is more on target or mine seems to be playing out. I tend to think my fellow man is a smart and good and well-intentioned and thoughtful person when it really comes to it. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. I do agree with you on one thing, though. I think this is a serious matter, and I think we ought to be concerned and alert to how this process is playing out. There's an awful lot of money floating around in these campaigns, and a lot of money happening, a lot of things happening as a consequence that may or may not be good for us all. We've got Raman on the phone from Williamstown. Good morning. How are you this week, Raman?
I am doing good. It's actually Rama, but if you
Rama.
Want to
okay,
in
good.
There, that's fine.
Sorry.
I've answered to Raul for a
okay,
full year.
Okay, I see now that Tom wrote Rama, and I just misread the last letter. So.
Well, I worked with a guy years ago as a mm-hmm. bartender, and mm-hmm. he called me Raul for about a year and finally asked
Well, you wouldn't
what
believe what
was.
I've been called over the years.
Hey, so. I've been called worse. you just brought up a topic, though, that kind of gets under my skin a
What's
bit. This is this local exceptionalism that, oh, my gosh, Vermonters are just this wonderful type of people that aren't going to be taken in, and we're smarter than others, we're better mm-hmm. than others. And we hear this on a consistent basis. And by the way, and I can tell you from experience, I've lived in New York, Vermont, Virginia, Florida, North Carolina for lesser periods of time, out in Montana and Arizona, a little bit of time out in California. I can anywhere you go in the country, you will hear how, oh, we're from around here.
Well, that's true. You know, that's like the argument that people have about school. The schools are terrible, but not my school.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the truth is, and this isn't to say anything bad about people who live in Vermont, because mm-hmm. I happen to believe that by far and away the greatest majority of people in this world are honest, hardworking people that just want to try to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing special about people in Vermont. That is not special about people from Missoula, Montana, Charlotte, North Carolina.
No, I think that that's fair, and that's I think that's consistent with the view that I was espousing, and actually not inconsistent with what Fred was saying. I think.
Yeah, but it's what you said, and
it is what I said.
It's this constant repetition about how special we are, and this goes back to something that Fred was saying.
Yeah, fair enough.
And that if it gets repeated long enough, it will become truth. And you made the comment that, oh, well, not for you. And Fred mm-hmm. said, well, not for me either. But, you know, I'll tell you something. Neither of you are special either.
That's true.
In that sense that advertisers have this down. This is a science, and they know darn well that constant repetition makes something true in a person's mind. So if you and Governor Shumlin and Mike Smith continuously repeat the side that's mean that, my gosh, Vermonters are just special people, well, people start acting like it.
Well, I think fair enough, okay? I will concede that point to you here. I'm interested, though, in what you think particularly about the event that kind of triggered that train of conversation here, and that was the allusion I made to the event up at the Flynn Theater coming up on Thursday night. And this morning, the Vermont Workers Center issuing a call to the Flynn to cancel that event.
Well, the Flynn has the right to book whoever they want to book. Mm-hmm. The Worker Center has the right to object to whoever they want to object to. Mm-hmm. And quite personally, I think the people that are throwing out this idea that, oh, it's horrible that the Worker Center would be trying to tell the Flynn not to have Trump show up, I think that's a little bit disingenuous. Mm-hmm. And I say that on a couple of reasons. Number one, if I showed up at that Trump event and expressed how I felt about Trump, I would be manhandled and thrown out. And we know this. There's a history of this happening at Trump events.
Yeah.
So we don't have to speculate. We know this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they're coming. He's not coming into town to enter into any sort of a discourse either. He's not there to protect anybody's right to talk in a specific format.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is, this is not about First Amendment rights. I mean, if Trump has every right to stand out at a street corner that I have and make a political statement. But, you know, he doesn't have the right to force their nonprofit organization that owns the Flynn Theater. He doesn't have the right to have those people allow him to hold his events there. So it's not about First Amendment rights or anything, but it's about political discourse and where you think it's going. And quite personally, I think considering the narcissistic, the sexist, racist, bullying that Trump engages in, I think needs to be stood up against. And quite frankly, I wouldn't allow him in my house.
Well, I think a lot of people feel that way. And one of the more creative protests ideas that I've heard about that to make exactly that point is a considerable number of people got themselves seats at this free event and plan not to attend. And the idea being that the house will essentially be, you know, empty. He'll be preaching to crickets.
Well, I would actually if I lived in Burlington, I'd get a seat and I'd stand up and make a statement and get myself thrown out. And if enough people did that, then yeah, they would empty out half the crowd.
Mm. Well.
But, you know, but nonetheless, is this whole bit about, gee, should the Worker Center have spoken up like that? Of course, they have the right to.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have spoken up like that. I'm asking what you think about the basic idea that they're propounding.
Well, quite frankly, I don't. If I owned the Flynn, he wouldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me, and
that's
my
you.
Own
that's
personal
right.
feeling.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you. Well, it's going to be interesting to watch what unfolds as the weeks go on, and I certainly hope, Rama, that you'll be calling us again as we look at things that are happening out there. Want to be talking about whatever our listeners want to chat about today, give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. I think we have a break coming, or are we gonna?
We can do a break,
or we can keep rolling.
We can. What would you like to do?
We can. Let's might as well just let's do a break and see if some calls come in. Great, thanks. You know, our theme song gets sort of catchier and more toe-tapping as the show wears on. I'm not sure what's up with that. You are listening to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you every Monday morning from 9 until 11. Today, we're kicking off the new year with you as the star of the show. We are interested in your thoughts about current events. It can be political. It can be economic. It can be cultural. It can be just, you know, what'd you do for fun over your Christmas break, your holiday break. Give us a call and let us know. 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. 8255. Winter got here since last we met. I don't know about you. I have to confess, my favorite winter sport is reading. So I'm not necessarily one who's going to be out on the slopes all the time. But if you are someone who is really glad to see the snow here, give us a call. Tell us, did you take advantage this weekend of the snowy weather that we finally got? Mashed potato snow up where I live, but, you know, snow nonetheless, enough to get your skis on, enough to get your snowshoes on, get out, go stomping around. What did you do over your holiday break? 244-1777, 877-291-8255. Dick from St. Albans, how are you this morning?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year's.
Happy New Year's to you. What's on your mind?
This legislature coming up on this McAllister deal.
Oh, boy, yeah.
The Senate has no power to sanction him at all.
Well,
the Constitution's clear on this. We will be duly represented up here by two senators. And I don't know where they get their authority, or they think they get their authority, but they pretty much are worn out here in the state of Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
The bribes they took to overthrow the Vermont Constitution on gun rights was enough to get rid of about 14 of them.
Well, you know what? I think we're going to see how this plays out pretty quickly, don't you?
Yeah, and I would say without two senators and... excuse me, without the 30 senators and the 150 House members in play and in place, they cannot convene.
Well, let's see how they handle that.
Well, you know how they handle it. They're anarchists. They do anything they want. There's no structure of government down there. It's just a feel-good politics. And if we want something, we just do it. We really don't care how it's done or who pays for it.
What do you think they should do instead?
They don't have any choice. They have no power. The only way that McAllister can be removed is by the voters in Franklin County.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so, very, very clear. Apparently, these college-educated senators can't read. There seems to be a major problem here.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that someone got educated past all usefulness. And I say that as a matter of personal experience.
Okay.
Dick, before I let you go, I would be curious, what do you think will happen if they do, A, try to convene, and B, try to discipline or somehow... make it difficult for Senator McAllister to take his seat? How do you think his constituency is going to react? Do you have a sense of that?
It's not the constituency so much up here in Franklin County. It's the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
Without a duly organized 30 Senate and 150 House members, anything they do is all unlawful.
Who's going to point that out to them?
Forward.
Isn't somebody going to have to point that out to them in order to turn that tide?
I don't think you can point it out to them. I don't think they have the capacity to listen and understand.
Mm.
It's pretty obvious with what's gone on here in the last 20 years in this state.
Well, you know, that's a kind of a bleak view. That's a pretty bleak view.
This is why this state is bankrupt.
Well, what do you see as a way forward?
Well, Mr. McAllister will have to be put back in his position and put back to his committee seat, and it'll be up to the voters in Franklin County to throw him out of office.
Right. And then once that whole thing has cleared, what do you see as a way forward out of the state we're in?
Well, first of all, I continue to say this. Back in the 90s, they tried to do a constitutional amendment on health care and education. It never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest things in this state right now are social engineering, putting everybody on welfare, financing a public education system that's a violation of your property rights with no authority to do it at all, and then the health care fiasco, that's pretty obvious now that that's blowing up in their face. And there is just absolutely no foundation to support anything they're doing.
I hear you. I guess what I'm looking for is possible ways we could move forward to fix that. And I don't know if you have thoughts or, I mean, it's a difficult, difficult question. It wouldn't surprise me if it's hard for anybody to come up with a way through this mess.
There's always a way. You just don't do what you've done. You have to work your way backwards back out of it. And it's going to be very painful because I hate to think of this, but a lot of government officials and bureaucrats are going to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to have to go home, stay there.
Mm.
That's the way it is.
Well, I hear you, and I appreciate that point of view. That's Dick from St. Albans, who often calls up with thoughts about current events, and we encourage you to do the same thing today. 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. What's on your mind today? I haven't really done much with science on this program, and I'd really like to start doing more science-y kinds of topics. So I heard a really interesting thing on the radio last night about a new study that's come out that has shown that there may be some kind of a link between your sleeping pattern and your predisposition to cognitive ailments like Alzheimer's disease. Specifically, what studies are beginning to show is that when you go into deep sleep, there's a circulation of a certain kind of fluid that does a lot during the deep sleep phase to kind of clean out chemicals that lead to the plaques that are linked to Alzheimer's. And the studies they've just been doing it in mice. They haven't really looked at it in human beings yet, but it's kind of intriguing. That's the bit of science news that I have found most intriguing this week. And I'd be interested, if you're a science weenie like I am, and there's something interesting that you've heard about that's come up in the news, we'd sure like to hear about it. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Fred from Newbury, how are you?
Oh, hi. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
And you know what? Healthcare is a fascinating thing. How we mm-hmm. pay healthcare is really fascinating. You can blame the healthcare problem we have today. You can blame it on Henry Kaiser, and you can also blame it on the federal government. That's why we have a healthcare problem today.
Okay, now walk me through that, Fred. I want to understand your thinking.
Okay, so during World War II, 1942 in particular, we had price and wage control. And Henry Kaiser needed hundreds, thousands of people to work, right? But with price and wage control, he couldn't compete, right? Mm-hmm. So Henry had a great idea. He said, hey, look, if you work for me, I'll pay for your health care, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened. The federal government didn't tax you on that benefit, and the federal government let Henry write it off as a tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
You got me?
An expensive business, yeah, cost of doing business.
Right, okay, so then here's what happened. For the next three generations, someone else was paying for my health care.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? And that became part of my DNA. After three generations of someone else paying for my health care.
Well, you know what?
I don't want to pay for my healthcare.
Well, that's an interesting perspective. I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I'm not saying I agree or disagree with you, but I'm just going to poke you a little and see what you think of this idea. When Kaiser offered this as a benefit to his employees, couldn't you also say that it was part of their compensation and they were indeed paying for their healthcare with their sweat and their labor?
No, because the government, the benefit. You have to pay taxes. Nobody was paying taxes on it. That's the whole idea. Nobody's paying taxes on it. Here's the only way you can solve the healthcare problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the economic theory. Here's the economic theory to solve the healthcare problem. Okay, so here it is, right here. If you want to buy healthcare,
mm-hmm.
you have to go out and you have to find an insurance company that will sell you the healthcare plan that you want. You can go anywhere in the country. So you buy it yourself. If everybody in the United States had to pay for their own health care, do you think the price of health care would go up or down?
If everybody had to pay for it, I think what would make more of a difference is if there were more than just one or two places you could go.
Well, that's what I said. You can.
So there was a little competition.
You can buy health care anywhere in the country you want to buy it,
mm-hmm.
no matter where it is. But you got to pay for it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What would the economic theory be? Would the price of health care go up or would it go down?
Well, the economic, if it's just a demand increase, then it would simply be, then the prices would go up. But if you've got a supply increase that's stimulated by this extra demand, then that's what would drive the prices down because the suppliers would have to compete for your business.
Yeah, the price would go down. Mm-hmm. The insurance companies that want to be in the health care business would be competing with each other. And you have to pay for it. They would come up with it. They would come up with a program
mm-hmm.
that you would be willing to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're willing to pay for that program, then that would lower the price.
Now, are you familiar with the idea of market failure or of externalities?
Well,
this would be. I'm just interested in what you think. What you think of this idea? The idea is that there are other benefits that come from having the populace have access to health care that you can't really trace to a single individual, that it, that, that the society as a whole would benefit. There are sort of common benefits that come from having a healthy workforce, for example, or just healthy people generally. Healthy kids do better in school, learn better, grow up into more competitive members of society, more, you know, able to compete intellectually and physically if their health is looked after, and that there are social benefits beyond the benefits to the individuals. Who should pay for that piece of the good that comes out of insuring folks?
So what we'd have to have is some sort of nominal safety net. Mm-hmm. And that would be the complicated part of the whole thing.
Yeah, now tell me what you think about that. How do we keep a nominal safety net from becoming sort of this big, you don't have to pay for your health care and you get used to it idea? That
if you go prior to 1942.
Okay.
My grandfather was growing up. He grew up that time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go way back. You go back, they had no health care.
Mm.
And everybody survived.
Well, not everybody.
Well, not everybody survives today.
Well, I know, but, you know, there are a lot of folks
survived.
Who...
The country became a powerful country. If you go back to the industrial titans of the 1890s,
Let's also go back to the urban ghettos of the 1890s and the immigrants that came over from Ireland, like my relatives, who had tremendous illness, and folks who didn't survive because they didn't have...
That was the problem.
They couldn't afford health care.
That was the problem. There's no question about it. There's absolutely no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
So today, health care has become too expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just outrageously too expensive today.
Yeah, and I would agree with you there.
Like, for instance, as far as I'm concerned, I have a catastrophic health care policy.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means my premiums are low.
Right,
and
but your deductibles.
If I get sick, I'm going to have to dish out at least $6,500.
Yeah, that's the catastrophe, right? I mean,
yeah, that's the catastrophe for me.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. It's tough. I will say that when I got... off my employer's provided health insurance because I left that place of employment. I was terribly worried about this, and I was thrilled when it turned out the Obamacare crowd was going to make it possible for me to buy an individual policy for a heck of a lot less than it would have cost me to buy that without the Obamacare policy. Yes, I would have been better off financially sticking with the job and having my employer pick it up. But I will say that the Affordable Care Act really came through for me, given that I had changed my circumstances. I also understand that that's not the uniform rule, that there are lots of folks around who don't have that experience. And it's just, and you know, let's not even get into the computer problem that they've been grappling with down in Montpelier.
So somebody said that the Obamacare benefits people that you know don't have any money, basically. I mean, if you can afford
policy that.
Yeah, if you can buy Obamacare, but it depends on your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
You won't have to pay a real high premium for
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah, I haven't really looked at it as closely as I would need to speak with any degree of authority beyond you know sitting at the coffee counter.
My big question is, how can we solve this healthcare problem?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to do it.
I don't know how to do it either, but I think I'd rather us be doing something than nothing, you know? Sometimes you have to do something even if it's the wrong thing.
Yeah, but what if the something is terrible?
The what?
What if you do something than nothing? What if doing something is worse than doing nothing?
Well, now there's probably the point where you and I diverge in our opinion, because I sometimes think you have to do something instead of nothing, and if you find out it's not the right thing, then you go and you change what you're doing. But sometimes you just don't know, and sometimes not doing anything at all is almost the worst thing, because people lose faith and people lose heart and people don't continue.
The theory is you could do nothing,
mm-hmm.
and you figure out that nothing is not working, and then you're going to have to turn and do something.
Yeah, well, I think we found that out already.
Yeah, all right.
Well, it's going to be an interesting thing to watch, you know. Here's something else, Fred, about the healthcare thing that I don't get, and maybe you understand it. What I don't understand in Vermont, anyway, we live in an age when eBay and Amazon and PayPal are all totally mature businesses, mature business models. And they can handle, you know, changing circumstances, changing addresses and changing numbers of people and that sort of stuff. Why in the world in this age was it so freaking difficult for the state of Vermont to get a computer-based, you know, health insurance sign-up system? I just don't get that.
Yeah, I know. It's really interesting because Vermont government seems to be, you know, I mean, I just, you know, I mean, my theory is the best thing that can happen to Vermont is to come apart in New Hampshire.
Oh, no, I'm not going that far.
What do you mean? No taxes over there. There's high fees. Look at New Hampshire. New Hampshire is 101.
You can hardly see New Hampshire. There's too many billboards.
Huh?
You can hardly see New Hampshire. There's too many billboards.
Yeah, right. They got billboards, but look at New Hampshire, I think, ranks 10 in income.
Ten on what list?
Huh?
I don't know that stat. That's intriguing to me.
Yeah, it's one of the wealthy states. Mm. It's in the top 20. I think it's ranked 10. New Hampshire has.
Well, that might be news to some of my friends in Manchester and Berlin, but who knows?
Well, we're not talking about individuals. We're talking about the whole state.
Well, this
the mean income, mm-hmm, I think, is a very, very high mean income compared, mm-hmm, to other states.
You may well be right, and I just don't have my facts at my command there, so I just can't tell. But you know what? This is going to be an interesting season, and it's going to be an interesting time to be hosting this program if you'll keep calling in from time to time with your thoughts, because I find you thoughtful and you got a lot of interesting ideas. So I want to thank you, Fred, and I hope you are off to a really good new year.
Before you go, last night,
yeah,
I always wanted to know where the sun goes, so I stayed up all night and spawned on me.
That's awful. We should do a joke show. You know that, Tom? Make a note of that. We should do a joke show, and people can call up with their...
That's a good idea, because 2 days ago, I went to a logger, and I got a job, and the next day he came up to me and he says, hey, Fred, guess what?
Uh-oh.
He says, you can't cut it. So
I'm going to have to cut you off if you keep up with those awful things. Well, when we have our joke show, I hope you'll have a whole list that you'll call up and give us. I think that would be good. A joke show is a great idea, Tom. What do you think?
Well, we don't, have that ability to, edit things.
You know what? People are trustworthy.
Yeah, we'll find out, I guess. Charlotte is great downstairs.
Yes.
She has some of the best jokes.
Oh, that's excellent. We'll have to bring her up as a guest.
She doesn't like to go on.
Well, we'll give her a disguise. No one will know it's her.
Yeah, yeah.
A little vocoder thing. She can come as R2-D2 or that. What is that new little robot's name?
I haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to give it away.
No, that's okay. I've seen the previews.
Love that
one
movie.
That rolls around. Yeah, everybody.
I finally got to go. I finally went last week with Tom Beardsley and a couple of his buddies. We all went down to the place in Stowe and saw it in 3D, and I totally recommend it.
Some people say see it in 2D and then see it in 3D.
Oh, why waste? I'd cut to the chase and go. I totally get why movie directors film violence and war and mayhem. And I know this is sort of not politically correct, but it's freaking beautiful. I mean, it just looked gorgeous on the screen. It's terrible to say that, but it really did.
Oh, I look forward to seeing it. And it looks like it's going to pass, they were saying today, the all-time record.
Yeah, I heard that as I was coming in here. They passed the all-time. I even wrote it down. I was so struck. In 14 days, they made $740 million?
Well, it's got Yeah.
That gig.
Avatar or something was the...
You could work for 20 minutes and be set for life to do interesting things that, you want to get done in this world. Make changes you want to see made.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
That would be nice.
So I guess we have news coming up. Oh, but not for
a
couple minutes.
We got 4 minutes.
So we got time for one more call if someone wants to give us a jingle and let us know what's on your mind as the new year unfolds, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Tom's telling me we have 4 minutes before the news break, so if you've got a thought that can fit into that space with me interrupting you and all that other stuff that we seem to be doing here this morning, we'd sure like to hear it. Or if you want to hang on and call us right after the news break, we might have a little bit more flexibility about endpoints. Coming up in an hour, we have, of course, Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayers. He will have, what do we got going on today? Rob Roper's coming in, and Bill and Rob will be exploring the complaints about complaints from high-spending schools about the caps that have been imposed on their spending, the state threshold. That'll be the topic they take up this week. Right now, though, we're going to jump to South Barry and talk to Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, morning. A couple thoughts on the health care.
What do you think?
With the large deductibles, you feel like you have insurance, but like my son had to have knee surgery, and, of course, the surgeon had to have an MRI done on his knee.
Mm.
Before the surgery, and it was almost $3,000, which, of course, they took out of his $5,000 deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, he's paying monthly payments because he doesn't have that kind of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other way they get you, my other good friend, him and his wife, had a family policy. It's an $8,000 deductible. He's had some surgeries and stuff, and when he reached the deductible, that was great. Then his wife went, well, guess what? Each one has to reach $8,000.
Oh, that sounds really
Gosh.
So even though he reached the 8 and then she went, turned out she still, now she has to reach 8 because they don't, it doesn't transfer. They'll take both of their monies, but then it doesn't go for a total on the 8.
Well, is that the terms of just that policy? I mean, there must be other arrangements you can have where it's like they have...
That's their policy. They got through the whole state thing.
Well, even through the state thing, there's a bunch of different possibilities. You don't necessarily have to settle for the super high deductible. A lot of people, it looks appealing to do the low premium until the deductible comes back to bite them in the biscuit.
It's not so much the deductible. I just thought it was rather ironic that
it's a
family policy. When one of them reaches the 8,000, it still doesn't count for the
exactly.
other spouse, because they have to reach it too.
More than ironic, it just seems not right.
Yeah. All right. Have a good day.
Okay, Tom, thanks for the call. You're listening to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller. We're about to go into a news break, but on the other side, we're going to continue with this conversation. 244-1777 is one number you can use to reach us. If that's long distance for you, though, you can call us at 877-291-8255, and we'd love to know what you're thinking as this new year gets underway. So far this morning, we've talked about a lot of different things, haven't we, Tom? We talked about... Oh, goodness, just the fact that the new year is here, the legislature's getting underway, and there's some pet issues that some folks out there feel really strongly about and have been very thoughtful about. We'd like to hear from you if you, too, have an issue you would like them to address there in Montpelier. We talked about the last season of Downton Abbey getting underway last night. We'd love to hear more from folks who are as addicted to that show as I am. I love that show. Talking a little bit about science and a lot of other things as well. Whatever you want to talk about today, Open Mic means it's your mic, it's your show, right here on WDEV AM 550, Waterbury, Vermont. Also broadcasting at 96.1 FM out of Warren, Vermont, 96.5 FM out of Barrie, and up in Island Pond, 101.9 FM, blanketing the kingdom with the sounds of WDEV. We also stream worldwide at WDEVradio.com. So, no excuse, you can listen to us any old time. Think about giving us a call. We're going to break for news at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, and we'll be back on the other side. I'm Hester Fuller. Whoa, good morning. Welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and this hour we are taking your phone calls at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. In just a minute, we're going to head down to Washington, where our folks from Talk Media News are going to give us an update on what's unfolding down there. Right now, though, just a quick look at Roger Hill's weather forecast for the WDEV listening area. We've got a few diamond dust flurries this morning, otherwise bitterly, bitterly cold. Sunshine mixed with clouds in the forecast. Temperatures will hold in the upper to mid to upper single digits, and I think that's above zero. The winds are coming in from the north, northwest, around 10 miles an hour. It feels a little chillier. Tonight, it's going to be mostly clear overhead and frigid. Low temps 0 to 10 below zero, and light northwesterly winds prevailing. Tomorrow, sunshine and blue skies. Temperatures appear to be moderating a bit, looking for a high in the mid to the upper teens and not too much wind. Toward the end of the week, we're going to see clear skies Wednesday with a low 0 to 5 above. Now, that's Tuesday night. Here we go. Wednesday, a few high clouds with high temperatures climbing all the way up to the 20s and low 30s. Might break the freezing mark on Wednesday. High clouds returning on Thursday, otherwise mostly sunny. Lows again in the teens and highs around freezing. And Friday, filtered sunshine through high clouds with a low in the teens. That looks like the weather forecast for the coming working week. And you are tuned right now to WDEV. I'm vamping, hoping that we get a call in here from Washington pretty quick.
Yeah,
Tom, how's
it? Usually in 2 or 3 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's 3 degrees above zero outside of Barrie. And the hard thing today, too, is the wind.
Yes, I know. It's really brutal.
That cut me in half coming in.
All my chickens this morning, I went out to do the barn chores, and they were like all squished together on their little tiny perch with their feathers all fluffed up and looking not thrilled with the weather.
Saw a few geese a week
really?
Ago.
Which way were they going?
Well, I think the wrong way, actually. They seem to be headed towards Burlington, maybe. But maybe they're going over and down. But I just wonder if some of that real warm weather confused them.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. On the other hand, they probably know a few things that we don't know. And maybe it's going to be a good thing.
But they were saying, people were talking about over in Burlington, their bulbs, the spring bulbs were coming up. And
So, well, up in the NEK where I live, it was also warm enough that my lilacs have again budded out early. Mm. Last year, my blueberries, it was kind of a drag. I have these wonderful blueberry bushes that I got from Elmore Roots. I don't know if you've ever...
Yeah.
Oh, God,
great
I love
place.
That place.
Yeah.
And one of them was fine. The one, the late-bearing one was fine, but the other two got zapped. And so all their growth went into the actual bush, which is a good thing. But I didn't get any berries off those two last year. But next year.
Could be a science angle there, that these warm temperatures, did they do anything?
Yeah. Well, we have a friend up in Greensboro Bend that I want to bring down. She's called in here a couple times to talk about that kind of stuff as we get a little bit closer. And I'm also thinking that, would it be fun to do, you know, when the seed catalogs come out, that's kind of like an unofficial winter holiday for some of us. And I think we might do some kind of a gardening show around that time. Maybe bring someone in from the Master Gardener program up at Extension Service offers. And bring in some folks. Maybe we'll get the fellows from Elmore Roots over here, too. That would be fun to talk
Such
to them.
Such a short time of year. Of course, and you have the different greenhouses and the hydroponics, I believe it's
hydroponics,
called.
Yeah.
Some people like that. Some don't.
Some don't. Water-rooted tomatoes and things like that.
Although I had some that, you know, usually this time of year, the tomatoes are terrible. But because some of those processes, it's... things I had were delicious.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, I always have ambition to do that, but then my house is kind of a shrine to, you know, I can kill an air plant with neglect. I mean, I'm not that good with house plants. I need, you know, the outside and Mother Nature to pick up the slack, because I leave a lot of it when it comes to my garden.
It's like some people can cook, but some people can't bake. Some people can do outside, you know, plants and inside, no.
Yeah, no, it's true. I do have a little African violet that I got, like, at the supermarket, and it really dried up and shriveled and didn't look great, and I thought, but I couldn't bring myself to pitch it, so I just ran some water under it and stuck it on my kitchen counter, and lo and behold, it has two little blossoms, and I'm naming it the Dowager Countess after Violet Crawley, or, the lady, Crawley.
Like me with my obsession with Titanic.
There you go.
After something Titanic nobody understands.
See, I never understood. I never knew that before this morning, that you were really a Titanic aficionado.
Oh, yeah. Always have been.
That seemed to me to be like starting off that series with a fair amount of heavy lifting. If the first dramatic moment is, you know, this huge ship going down.
It's connected to Downton Abbey, and that then wasn't the heir to the Abbey.
Yes, that was the very first thing. The very first plot twist, which happened about 3 minutes into the very first episode. Yep.
And now, so that was 1912, and they've carried it all the way up to, what, 1925 now?
Something like that. I think so. And Julian Fellowes, the guy who was the originator of this, apparently has another series in the works. I think it's set in the 20s in the United States, which would be a lot of fun, I think.
What a cast, though. It's hard to see these casts break up.
I know. They've been fabulous. They really have. I'm choosing to think of them not as breaking up, but just kind of going on about their business without me paying any attention, you know. The camera is sliding away, and they will continue to live their lives. So,
interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Right here, you are tuned to WDEV. We hope we're at least moderately interesting most of the time. This is the Open Mic Program. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'll be with you until 11 o'clock. And the topic today is whatever you want it to be. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. That's toll-free. If you want to give us a jingle, we'd sure love to hear from you. We've touched on a number of topics this morning, and we've had some very thoughtful, very impassioned talks from listeners who've called in, who know a great deal about certain things and have very strong opinions about many things, and we would love to hear what you're passionate about or what you think is important. We've got the legislature going back to work tomorrow. Today's their last day of break, and those who are not down there working on some sort of committee thing might well be listening, so it's your chance to give them your 2 cents before they actually go into work tomorrow morning. Give us a call at 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. It is about 10:15. My name is Hester Fuller. We are open miking it today, Tom and I. We're looking for your calls, your insights. We want to know what you want to know about. 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. I want to mention we're having some technical difficulties with the telephone system here. So if you have called in and haven't been able to get through, please try again. What seems to be happening is we can only get one call in on at a time. So if you call in and you hear someone, another caller on the line, chances are our system isn't letting a second call come in right now. So hang up, call us back in a little bit. We do definitely want to hear from you. We're not intentionally ignoring your efforts to get through. We would very much like you to get through. We'd like to hear what you have to say and what's on your mind. So keep trying, and so will we. 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. We got to do a little business and we'll be back on the other side. You are listening to Open Mic. That's mighty peppy there. That's our theme music here. You're tuned to Open Mic on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning. Looking for your calls and your thoughts as the new year gets underway. What's on your mind? 244-1777 or toll free 877-291-8255. We want to hear from you. Coming up at 11 o'clock this morning, we have Common Sense Radio, as we do every weekday morning at 11. Today, after hearing complaints from high-spending schools about caps on their spending, will the legislature soften the spending caps and increase property taxes thereby for everybody? Rob Roper and Bill Sayre will be looking at that question this morning on Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. That's coming up this morning at 11 o'clock. Right now, though, it's open mic time, and Paul from Moncton is calling. Paul, what's on your mind today?
The healthcare system, Hester.
Okay, tell me what you're thinking about.
Well, what I'm thinking about is some of the comments you made earlier, and I find them interesting, and that you were concerned about the fact that they couldn't get the healthcare website up and running. But it goes further than that, because it's so much worse than what you can imagine.
Really?
Well, let me explain. Department of Motor Vehicles changed its system, and they had to sue to get back their money because it failed outright. The court system had a new computer system put in. That failed. The Department of Liquor Control, its stores have registers that still use dial-up modems.
Oh, boy.
So the key here is, what is it all involved? It involves government. But it isn't just government. It's big government. Uh-huh. And it's not that I'm mad at across my backside against big government. It's when anything gets big, you have these problems.
I agree with you. I think
the
that's
same issues.
Yeah, that's an extremely good point, that things get unwieldy when they get too large for a single person or a small group of people to kind of get their minds around and keep on top of. Do you have a particular perspective on computery type things? Is this something that you...
No, not necessarily, but more importantly, it's just the idea about healthcare and how to take care of it.
I see.
Let me continue on it quickly, and I'll try to be fast.
Yeah, you don't have to be fast. Take your time.
Okay, you mentioned something, doing something is preferable to doing nothing.
Mm.
Well, let me give you an example where we did something. Let's go back to the Brigham decision.
Mm-hmm.
The Brigham decision, if you ask the majority of the people in this kind of state about the Brigham decision and what it was about, they tell you it's for, you know, the education of our children. Reality, it wasn't. And it was about, you know, changing how we paid for the education. And
right.
The result is what we have now, where they did something and they fixed it. And they fixed it again, and they fixed it again.
And by then it was broken again.
And now it's still completely broken. And we're still in the same place we were 40 years ago, with 30% of our kids in any subject, in any grade, still failing. And we're spending 100% more per pupil than we did then.
Mm-hmm.
So ultimately, where the problem arises is this. And I will put up most of the blame on the left, but it is not exclusive to those on the left, because it also happens with policies that come from the right. There's an issue that needs to be fixed. I get that. But usually what happens along with this is then the party that's looking to fix this issue points fingers at whoever is causing the problem, and they become punitive. And a lot of the policies that come from the left, whether it be healthcare or the education, is there's always a punitive component of it that takes it way beyond where it should be in terms of fixing the problem.
Uh-huh.
So finally, what is the answer with healthcare? Well, I'm arrogant enough to think I've got the answer.
What do you think?
First of all, we cover all children, period. End of story. I don't want to hear anybody on my friends, my right, tell me we do shouldn't. We should cover our children until they're age 18. From that point on, government only covers catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
Catastrophic will be based with the deductible upon how much you're worth, what kind of income you make on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm.
That may require some tinkering with their tax code system and maybe going a flat tax rate with different tiers, but that would certainly simplify things. From that point on, people with high deductibles would have the opportunity to purchase insurance to cover that deductible if they so choose.
Sure.
And where the savings comes in is you'll do away with community rating. So therefore, people who take care of themselves are healthy will have a chance to get a lower base insurance in order to cover that deductible.
Mm-hmm.
And those who can't are going to have to pay more because they're not doing what they should.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about people, extenuating circumstances. These are people who make life choices that put them in the position they're in. So therefore, we've covered everybody. They have catastrophic coverage. Children are covered. The catastrophic would cover even everyday, yearly exams for men, women. So
sure.
We get our basics. They cover eye exams once a year, 2 dental visits.
Mm-hmm.
So we're covering the basics so people are getting primary care.
Mm-hmm.
And no one would be going broke. Children would be covered. But we would not, with this current system, be forcing people to pay higher rates in order to cover, issues that are based upon people's choices in life.
That's an interesting perspective, and I appreciate that. There's 2 points that I don't quite follow your thinking on, and would you mind if I asked you just to clarify? Okay, one of them, somewhere in there I heard you mention that part of what we would tie the cost of the coverage beyond what the government picked up to would be based on work, like what you're doing for work or how much you were used to making for work. Did I hear that correctly?
Well, what I'm trying to say is this. Everybody has catastrophic, but let's say me making $50,000 a year would have a deductible based upon that, my net worth.
Okay.
Someone who makes $1 million a year would have the deductible that's much higher.
Right.
Because they can
okay.
afford to pay themselves, but they still have to pay into the system.
Okay.
Where they may save money is by getting extra insurance to cover that deductible without community rating, having an impact upon them, based upon their life story and how mm-hmm. they take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. I see. I guess what I was, the question that had come to my mind, and I'm wondering how you would think about this, I think about a lot of women who don't who drop out of work for a while and don't work, and then they come back in, and they may not have the sort of history or the income. But it sounds like under your system, if they just had less income, they would be looking at a lower deductible. Is that
absolutely?
That's the
absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We would be based upon your yearly tax filings. What you made the previous year.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have a sense of what your net worth is, and they say we, the government, and then they can base your next year's deductible and what you may have to pay on that. So it would take in consideration people's, where they are in life.
Well, you know what? It makes a lot of sense. I'm just hearing about your view now, and so I haven't really been able to think of all the little ins and outs, but it's certainly something I would give some further thought to. The one other piece that I wondered if you wouldn't mind just recapping for me, because I'm a little slow and I haven't had all my coffee in the morning. You mentioned that the government would cover catastrophic events. Is that the idea?
No, catastrophic period. In other words, basically, based upon your income, for someone making $30,000 a year right out of college, basically all their medical bills would be covered because they can't afford to pay for it. And
okay.
I get that.
Okay, so that's not just catastrophic coverage.
No.
Okay.
It's catastrophic. It's basically we don't want people going bankrupt. And if they can pay $10, fine. We're going to have you pay $10.
Yep.
If you're making $1 million, $2 million a year, you can afford to pay a lot more.
Yeah, well, that certainly
that's
seems...
That's fine by me.
That seems like common sense to me, too. I think that that's a really interesting idea, and I think you've thought of a lot of the ins and outs of it. And I wonder, I'd love to see someone take that idea and kind of run it to earth with the financials and just see how it all balanced out. Because it sounds like a sensible thought. Well, thank you, Paul, very much for calling, and I hope you'll call us again sometime when we're on the air, when we're talking about something that's intriguing to you. We'd like to open the mic to anybody who wants to call in this morning with thoughts about the new year and the things that are going on, the things that are on your mind. We're careening into an election season eventually, I think, once this theatrical stage gets ended. And then we also have our legislature convening tomorrow, the first day at work for them for the coming legislative session. Lots of things that are beginning during the month of January, as they often do. And if you have thoughts about those, give us a call, 244-1777, or toll-free, 877-291-8255. I mentioned a little bit ago that we are having a little trouble with the phone lines, and it looks like we can't get more than one line in at a time. Sometimes, or usually, what happens is if you call in and I'm talking with someone else, we're able to put you on hold until that call ends, and then we can bring you on the air. But it looks like our capacity to take a second call today is somewhat compromised. So if you call in and there's someone already on the air and you find you can't get through, it's not that we're intentionally shutting you out. We really want to hear from you. So you might just hang up and call us back when you hear the line clear. Like right now would be a great time to call, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. This is Open Mic, and I'm Hester Fuller, and we're talking about all kinds of stuff today. Folks keep returning to the subject of healthcare, Tom, but I think that there's plenty of other things we could be talking about as well.
Certainly.
You have some thoughts about ideas that we want to develop for this coming year for while we're on the subject of healthcare. We're going to take up the question, I think, of head injury at some point.
Yeah.
Aren't
we? I really look forward to doing that show.
Yep.
I had to cancel it because of some situations that, but maybe February or so, we'll have to give them a little.
That would be
notice.
Great.
They have that, I think that movie's out with Will Smith.
That's right. You know, I wanted to be sure I called your attention to that if you hadn't heard already, but it turns out this is going to be a very timely program. Will Smith is the star of a movie that kind of documents the steps of is he a Nigerian doctor who came to this country?
I haven't really looked into
okay,
it yet,
and he was the first medical professional to kind of raise the flag and wave it around and say, "Hey, NFL, your players are suffering lasting injury from collisions and the kinds of head injuries that occur in football." And the movie explores, you know, why it took someone who was not an American national to do that, why it took someone who came from outside the popular culture in the United States to take care of that, to raise that to people's attention. That'll be coming up later on, maybe in another month or so. Right now, though, we've got Bill from Barry on the line. Barry, Bill, what's on your mind this morning?
Wow, what Ellen Ratner said.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I guess the word shook me up. There's nothing more important, in my opinion, than the First Amendment of the Constitution, which mm-hmm. gives you freedom of the press.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this. I watch TV. I see these reporters in dangerous places. I actually, you know, was in the military. Mike Smith was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that some of these reporters get themselves in the situations that are actually more dangerous.
Uh-huh.
I watched some of the people who are in with the Kurds.
Mm-hmm.
They're there with the Kurds reporting, and you can hear gunfire and things like that happening.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, they are safer than these others that are in places where there aren't military that you can depend on protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking away the bravery of the military,
no.
But the bravery of these reporters is sometimes greater. I'm not saying greater than what Mike Smith
right.
That's really the
yeah, for our listeners who don't know, Mike served as a SEAL.
Right. He was doing things that
mm-hmm.
were very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanted to say, the value of a free press, the value of reporters who are out there
mm-hmm.
cannot be emphasized enough
mm-hmm.
because we rely on this to have an open government,
mm-hmm.
to have all these stories reported. Now, it doesn't matter what your opinions are, the ones that give the facts. We can't have opinions. I can't have an opinion and have an honest opinion unless I get the real facts.
Right.
I hear something I disagree with, but I find out that it's true, I change my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, what she said, and I hope you do keep in touch,
yep.
And I hope, and I want, I wish the national news would come up with this and say this, because the protection of the reporters is the protection of the whole world.
You know, I'm 100% on your side of the seesaw on that one. And I think it's Thomas Jefferson who said that if he had the choice between a government with no press or a press with no government, he would definitely take the press with no government. Press coverage, responsible, careful, thorough, good coverage of public affairs and events is critical to a democracy. We can't, as a people, make informed choices or decisions if we don't have good information.
May I ask a question?
Yes, you can.
You. I hear, and yesterday I heard in church, people were saying things that I didn't agree with. I don't know if I agree with them or not. But they're saying that there's a lot of things that are happening in government, including ours,
mm-hmm.
that are secret.
Well.
And that this is scaring me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've heard this a lot of times. But this person was somebody that I knew and liked and trusted.
Right.
And that scares me. As much as the press and Ellen and Victoria, who is close to the White House in this jail a lot,
maybe things are happening that these people do not know.
Well, I think that's entirely possible. It's kind of a sliding scale, though, isn't it? I mean, there's things like when we talked about Mike's service as a Navy SEAL. There's things that they plan and they have to do that involve public resources and lives that they can't be open about, right? So there's like that end of the scale where you can't afford to be totally public. You need to have some discretion. You could call it secrecy or whatever. And then we have the other end of the scale where there just seems to be no explanation for why things aren't out there, if they are in fact being held. Would you agree that at least there's kind of like a balance there? There's some things need to be secret and some don't, and it's kind of hard to find that middle line.
Absolutely. I agree with this thing like a secrecy. Like if you're a football coach and you're going to have a game, you don't want the other team or anybody else to know that you're going to have. You could go out and say, well, we're not going to throw any passes. Well, the other team finds that out, you don't have much of a chance.
Right.
So, yes, but there are like economic. This person I was talking to was more into the economics of the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I mean, people for greed are cheating. And we, of course, all know that. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. I was an accountant. I worked at the state.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. Mm-hmm. I've seen financial things that were fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really scary.
Mm-hmm.
To wonder if the people who are running our country. Now, Paul Ryan became Speaker of the House, and I think that's a good thing for the country.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is somebody who can do the job better than it was done before.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I'll say there. But
Can I back you up just a second and just hear what you mean by do the job better? I mean, let's get concrete. I'm a concrete learner. I need to hear examples of what you mean.
The best I can do with my knowledge is say that Paul Ryan is more into getting together with the other side, sides.
Yeah.
That have the whole Congress. He wants the Congress and the president.
Mm-hmm.
To work together. This is the way it appears to me.
Yeah.
He has his own positions.
Sure.
But he knows things have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming to a recess, and we have to get the budget and not close down the government.
Mm-hmm.
And the government did not get closed down. And we got things done.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I am saying him. He seems to be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And if things go wrong, and I wouldn't want his job. I don't care what you pay me.
Neither would
no
I.
No money would make me want his job.
I agree.
But
somebody's got to do it though, or we're just at a standstill.
Yes, but what I'm afraid, the way the person was talking.
Yeah.
He scared me.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody like Paul Ryan, who I trust at this moment, but what he was saying would make me not trust anybody in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And I just find that very, I mean, I know Tom Koch quite well.
Yeah.
And I trust him implicitly, okay? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But this guy was talking about how even people like him, maybe I shouldn't. And, oh my goodness.
Well, I know, and it really
and
does come down to
that. The press is so important.
Yep, I agree. It does come down to that, doesn't it? Let me ask you a question. We started this thread of conversation talking a bit about free speech and the importance of reporting and journalism in the functioning of a democracy. What do you think is the role that media has been playing in the state of affairs in which we find ourselves?
When they give the facts, and I think we also need opinion. We need, we can watch one channel and get one side's opinion and watch another, like CNN and Fox. They're two different sides, two opinions. And we need to be able to hear both of those sides. But more important than opinions, how somebody else says this is what I believe in, we need to get the exact facts. Now, of course, I believe people who have studied. When I was in college, I majored in economics.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I have opinions that are different because of what I've learned.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in different types of industry. When I was in college, I was working, in fact, on the assembly line. Mm-hmm. I found out a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
I learned how things work well. So I might have a different opinion of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that I worked with on the assembly line really taught me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, and I believe, this is another thing I believe, I think Mike Smith has mentioned this, that the guys down there, the sort of say the lower level, the ones that are actually doing the job,
right,
they should be heard more because they know how to do that job.
Yes, they do.
Much more than the boss.
I think that's
so
true.
So anyway, but my main thing is something that's scary. When we, I'm afraid overseas, a lot of our reporters aren't as well protected as they should.
Uh-huh, I see.
And I don't know if military helps, how well the military, I know if they're with the troops, they're protected.
Yeah, there is kind of a devil's bargain. And then the flip side of that, too, is that if there are Americans over there putting themselves in harm's way, whether they are military or civilian, I mean, it involves our military in ways that, you know.
It certainly does. It should involve our military. Mm-hmm. But there are things, stories that these people have to get that they cannot have the military.
Right. Right.
Maybe the CIA can help them.
I know. I mean, I think about trying to understand these people that we find so horrifying, who are doing these horrendous things, just trying to understand them so that we can be more effective in you know, offering some kind of an alternative or defeating them if that's what it takes. I mean, that's not the sort of interview situation you can swan into with, you know, a Navy SEAL on your flank.
But you can have somebody from that country. Now, Saudi Arabia, I don't even want to discuss saying the pros and cons about Saudi Arabia. We've used them, we've helped them, they've helped us, but we can get people who are Saudi Arabians, natural people, and have them help us.
We'd be good.
Yeah, if we
can. Bill,
I want this story not to stop.
Don't worry. This is something that's near and dear to my heart, and I hope you will stay tuned and you'll be calling in again with other comments and questions along these lines, because I absolutely agree with you. This is an important thing to keep on top of. You are listening to Open Mic here at WDEV. It's coming up on 20 minutes before 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock is when Bill Sayers arrives to do or comes in online to do the Common Sense Radio program. He's got quite a good lineup this week. The show today, he and Rob Roper are going to be looking at the legislature's potential response to the complaints about the spending thresholds or spending caps that school committees, school boards are facing around the state. That's coming up this morning at 11 o'clock. Tomorrow, the question on the plate for Common Sense Radio will be, why is the legislature reluctant to address the massive shortfall in funding of pensions for our teachers and state employees? We'll have Bill Sayers will have a pension expert, David Coates, and they'll be talking about that and exploring various ideas for solutions to that problem. That's coming up tomorrow on Common Sense Radio here on WDEV at 11 o'clock. And Bill joins us every weekday morning at 11. I'm Hester Fuller, and I am here every Monday from 9 until 11. Mike Smith is in the seat starting tomorrow. He'll be here Tuesday through Friday. I'm also going to be gone for a couple of weeks, but I will be back at the end of January. Right now, though, we need to stop and do some business. Okay, Tom is nodding at me. Tom the patient, Tom the marvelous, Tom the calms me down totally. We're going to take a little short commercial break, and we'll be back right after these. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm here every Monday from 9 until 11 on the radio. And today, Open Mic's guest is you. That's right. We're listening to what you have on your mind, your thoughts about the news of the day, and things that are coming up on the public affairs horizon. Give us a call if you have something you'd like to chat about, 244-1777, or toll free, 877-291-8255. That's the number to reach me here on Open Mic. We've been talking a lot about healthcare this morning and schools a little bit. What else have we been talking about? I've been trying to take notes, and the papers have gotten so profuse and so numerous that I've got kind of a drift that I'm plowing through over here. Haven't talked much about the Pats. Haven't talked too much about Well, we talked a little bit about Downton Abbey, which season got underway last night, the last season. You know, I stumbled on that show, Tom, right as it opened. I was like flipping through on a Sunday night and landed on it and saw one dress and thought, oh, that's interesting. The walking fashion road accident, who owns like, you know, two dresses. I saw something, some garment that just, oh, that's kind of cool, and stopped in my tracks there, and then within 3 minutes was totally sucked into the story and could care less about the clothes at this point, although they are sort of fun, and have been a faithful watcher ever since. And so I'm going through a slight bit of anticipatory withdrawal now that I know that we're coming down to the end of it.
Yeah, well, it is interesting, too. They've had some specials about the manors, mm-hmm. the period clothing.
Yeah, there's all sorts of little angles. Yeah, ancillary subjects that can be done. It's really, it's quite the little juggernaut of marketing and commercial possibility. No action figures yet, though.
No.
What would the Dowager Countess action figure do? What do you think?
Well, it'd be great if they could get, was it Carson?
The butler.
Deep voice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to have him on the radio sometime.
I think it would be awesome. Voice. I think he would make a wonderful kind of alarm at your front door. You know, if somebody, they have these new kinds of alarms and doorbell things that have little video cameras in that you can actually respond to over your cell phone. You might be away, like in Saskatoon, and someone's banging on your door in Elmore, and you can look on your iPhone and actually see who's out there and actually speak through the camera and tell that burglar, no, it's not a good day to break into the house.
Yes, especially in Carson's voice.
Yeah, Carson's voice.
Go away. Yeah. I am your father.
That's right. Oh, yeah, it's Star Wars. We touched a little on Star Wars, too. Gosh.
Right up to the top, and I mean, it's only been out since the 18th.
I know it.
So not even a month yet?
Yep, it's true, and it's already at the top of the money pile, the massive pile of... The creatures are great, and I know you haven't seen it yet, and I don't want to give anything away. All right.
And some other people.
Yeah, I made everybody else do that, too.
I know, it's been tempting to go online and just...
Don't.
I know.
Yeah, let it happen. It's really, really great.
Eric told me downstairs he saw it, Eric Michaels.
He's been now twice.
Has he?
Yeah, he went once, and then I guess he took a young relative.
Well, he said he got so overwhelmed with everything, all the photography and stuff, that he'd lost track of the story.
Really? Oh,
so
I'll have to go back again.
So he wanted to go back. And but I said, well, I might look up. He said, no, that would be a journey to the dark side if you looked up. So, you know, you're right.
It's good. I found the story compelling. I heard George Lucas isn't crazy about it. He feels like it's too much of a throwback to the original trilogy.
The ones that were the most successful. So
well, there's
George,
that, but you know, I don't
that?
Know. I don't know if you listen to classical music much, but you know, the sonata form. It reminds me of that. It reminds me of themes that were introduced early and are now being redeveloped in different ways.
Yeah.
So I don't see this as like, you know, just cribbing too much at all. I see this as just kind of the same way.
It's all interconnected, so I don't know why, but that's just how he. Creative, maybe technically, in developing the universe, but then sometimes he needs kind of a producer to say, of course, now it's all different. He's sold the franchise.
Yeah, I know. Maybe it's just a little bit of sour grapes. I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's his baby, so I can understand.
Yeah, it's understandable, but he had those second three movies.
I thought they were all great. I think I'm the only person on the face of the earth that really kind of liked Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. That's not good.
Well, I know, but everybody says that, but I'm sorry. I thought he was a little bit entertaining.
But they had 3PO and they had R2-D2.
He did, and all those little Ewoks.
Jar Jar.
Yeah, and the little Jar Jar served a different role. I'm not exactly sure what that role was, but he was, you know, he was your basic clown, fool, whatever.
Harrison Ford said that if there was any Ewoks in the new movie, he wouldn't do it.
Really?
So the Ewoks aren't always popular either.
Oh, I love the Ewoks.
I like them, too.
I thought they were really great. And the Tauntauns, those big... Snow animals,
oh, the
big
snow
animals.
Ones. Yeah, Empire great. Strikes Back.
Yeah, boy, last winter I sure wished I had a Tauntaun or two out in my barn. You know, they could have bunked in with my alpacas.
They're kind of like Tauntauns, aren't they?
Well, they are kind of, but they and they don't mind the snow, but they don't have the big curly horns. And my alpacas would really take umbrage if I were to put some kind of, you know, saddle or something on them and attempt to ride them to the general store.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out so
Fail.
Well.
So, well, everybody knows how nerdy we are now. So.
Oh, I don't think they really know, but we haven't gone into the weeds that deeply yet.
Not yet.
No.
We have some science ideas. One thing I noticed is, as far as a science thing, is sleep. Did you mention sleep?
I was talking about sleep because I heard a really interesting report this morning. They have linked sleep patterns, and they're being careful to say you know, it's a correlation. It's not necessarily a cause and effect thing yet. They don't have the evidence to say this causes Alzheimer's, but there definitely seems to be a link, a correlation somehow. You see these two things happen together in the same, you know, individual. Deep sleep patterns seem to be associated with a circulation of cerebrospinal fluid in a way that dissolves the things that lead to the plaques that they think are at the base of Alzheimer's. They haven't said that it's, and they've only observed this in mice. They've done this with some really amazing gadget that can watch the brains of mice while they sleep. But apparently the gadget is not something you could wield on a human being, so they're going to have to do it with MRI imaging.
That's interesting.
Well, it is, because the only people they'll be able to study, really, are people who can go into deep sleep in an MRI machine.
And I can do that. It never bothered me.
You're
Some
kidding.
Some people get freaked out by
the
it.
Noise and all that. It's pretty racky.
I've fallen asleep at a racetrack before.
Well, geez, I'm going to get the email address to these people, because they need to know.
No, I know. It doesn't. If they're having, sounds scary to me. So they probably have to.
I think it's kind of cool to be able to know that. There's another thing, speaking of sort of the micro. Oh, I just lost it. I had it right here.
Well, the thing that I saw about sleep is... just like I had sleep apnea, I didn't know
it.
And a lot of people have that scary.
Yeah, you don't know it. You can wake up dead or not wake up.
Well,
you know?
Wake up and not be alive. But there's different things, but it's really something you should look into. It made a difference. I was not able to work full time.
Yeah.
When I got on this machine a year ago or so.
Oh, is that what do they call them? CPAP things?
I have the CPAP. There's dental inserts. There's different things you can do.
What does it do exactly? Its function?
It helps you it helps you have the steady sleep patterns, because there's a snoring thing where you stop breathing and just not getting that deep REM
REM sleep
and stuff. So that's pretty important. The other thing they were talking about is how, you know, when you're a baby, you're born, you don't have the sleep patterns that we hold today are from the Industrial Revolution.
Imposed by the kind of work day that...
Yeah, and that's not natural. Well,
right.
You know, since humans have been around, we were more nappers.
Yeah, the idea of the second sleep actually shows up in like English historical writings. The idea of you know, you go to bed and then you wake up like at 2 a.m. and you do something quiet, thoughtful, and then you go back to bed again for quote unquote second sleep. That used to be a pattern.
They were mentioning how when babies are born, most of them aren't going to sleep. They have to be trained to sleep the duration.
Yeah.
They like to take the little naps and.
And have the little lunch.
And keep you up all night.
Mom feels like an all-night diner.
So, we can...
Oh, okay. Oh, looks like we need to
do
a little more business.
Commercial? I'll play
I do have my commercial, and you're going to let me do it between a couple of spots so that I wasn't just like segueing from talking about world affairs into promoting a sponsor. But I'm happy to... I'm very grateful to the sponsors.
Yeah, so great people. Great work that they do.
They are.
That's a tease, and I can play a commercial and come back.
WDU, where we tease our sponsors. Go ahead.
All right, here we go.
All right. Welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. Hester Fuller's my name. I'm with you for another 5 or 6 minutes before Bill Sayre is in, and Common Sense Radio gets underway. Bill will be chatting with Rob Roper today. After hearing complaints about high spending schools about the caps, the threshold values that have been placed on their spending, will the legislature soften those spending caps and thereby increase property taxes for everybody? Rob Roper and Bill Sayre are going to be examining this question this morning, coming up in just about 10 minutes here on Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre, which comes your way every weekday morning at 11 o'clock, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. Right now, though, we're continuing with Open Mic, and the first Open Mic of the new year 2016, and my guests today have been you all, and boy, it's been fun and an eye-opener and really great to listen to what you have to say. I've heard a lot of interesting ideas today. You've made my brain go into overdrive on a couple of things, because I have to kind of play devil's advocate a lot of the time, and you make me think about stuff, and I really, really appreciate it. There's still time. If you have a word, you want to get your 2 cents in, give us a call, 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Those are the numbers, and I sure would like to hear what's on your mind and what you think is important as 2016 gets underway. Also like to hear what you think about things that have happened in the last week or so. Since we were last together, winter finally got here. Downton Abbey's final season finally got underway. Star Wars is the juggernaut of the movie theater business. $740 million in 14 days. It's not a gig that I think I could ever land, but, you know, maybe you're different. Anyway, it's a great story, and it's spectacular to look at. I don't know if you've been. We can't talk about it too much right yet because my buddy Tom here hasn't actually gone out and seen it, and no. I don't want to spoil it for him. But if you can speak in a generic way without... Actually, you know what? Don't speak that way because it's fun to tell stories and get specific, and we'll wait like a month or so for that.
Force be with you.
There always. We go. Yes. Yeah. And also with you. That's what the Catholics say. Okay, so let's see. The legislature getting underway tomorrow. The big kerfuffle in Burlington over the Flynn's booking for Thursday evening, which curiously is going to coincide with the president's own public announcement about executive actions he thinks he needs, or actually not announcement, I think he's having a town meeting at the same time to talk about what he wants to do regarding gun violence in the United States. And there's a lot of speculation about what kinds of executive actions he might be thinking about doing. So that's coming up Thursday, and we'll be, I'm sure, talking about that in coming weeks, hearing what he has to say about that. We had a football game this week, a foosball game this weekend, I think. It didn't even really look like football to me. It looked like gang up on the quarterback to me, but then I'm a big Tom Brady fan. What else? What else do we have going on this week? A lot of things happen, and we'd sure like to hear what you think about the news of the day. 244-1777 or 877-291-8255. We've got time for maybe one or two calls before we have to wrap it up and clear out of the way for Common Sense Radio, which is a thought-provoking program that comes your way every weekday morning here on WDEV at 11 o'clock.
I live in Montpelier from Barrie originally, and it is interesting to see this time of year with the legislature poised to get back in session. It's almost like if you're on the college campus when the semester starts. A lot of people show up, lobbyists, new folks, old folks.
It's
just interesting. And then by about June or so, it's like the end of the semester. Okay, we're done.
Yep. Yeah.
See ya.
Yeah, it's true. And then the folks that are kind of the new hands are just kind of learning their way.
Yeah, and some just disappear.
And some just go away.
Some make it, some don't.
Yeah. Well, we had a guest last week, Paul Dame, who was a representative from Essex Junction, and I really would like to have him back. He is now beginning his sophomore year as a member of this General Assembly down in Montpelier.
He looks fairly young. So
he is. Well, last year was his first year, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a very thoughtful guy. I don't think we agree politically on much, but I think he's very interesting to talk to. He's thoughtful, and I like to listen to the kinds of things he has to offer, and I like to debate things with him, and it was a lot of fun having him here. And we might get him back as the session unfolds, and I'd like to hear him talk about becoming and getting better at the work of being in the General Assembly, because there may be folks out there who are sort of thinking about doing it. It would be great if we had more citizen legislators, again, if we could get back to that. Here in Vermont, we have the luxury of being able to do that because the legislature only meets part of the year. It's only part-time. And it would be really terrific if we had more just regular folks that were in there making these decisions on a day-to-day basis. So maybe we'll get him back to talk a bit about doing that and maybe inspire some folks out there who might like to think about doing it themselves.